We turned, and that brief expression of gentleness vanished from Tatsumi's face like the snap of a door being shut. I looked into the courtyard and found we were no longer alone. A young woman stood a few yards away, a broom held in both hands, watching us with a stern expression on her face. She couldn't have been but a year or two older than me, wearing the traditional red hakama and spotless white haori of a miko, a shrine maiden. Her straight black hair, even longer than mine, was tied behind her with a simple red ribbon, and her dark eyes shone with disapproval as she stepped forward. "I am sorry," she announced, her gaze flicking to Daisuke and Okame, walking down the steps to join us. "But the shrine is closed for the evening. Business hours end once the sun goes down. If you wish to say a prayer or make a wish to the kami, please come back tomorrow." Her voice trailed off for a moment as she stared at me. I felt a twisting in my stomach as our gazes met, and for a moment I thought she could see me. Really see me, what I was. My heart pounded and I held my breath, wondering if the shrine maiden would shout, "Kitsune!" and I would be exposed to them all. "Please excuse us," Daisuke said, coming forward. The miko tore her gaze from me to face the approaching noble, who smiled as he reached the bottom of the steps. "We didn't mean to intrude," Daisuke continued, as I still waited, frozen, to see what the shrine maiden would do. "We're looking for the head priest here. Would you be able to tell us where he is?"
"Who wishes to know?"
I took a quick breath. "I do," I said, stepping away from Tatsumi. The miko gazed at me calmly, her dark eyes assessing, but she didn't point and scream "demon fox" at me, so I hoped I had been mistaken. "I've come from the Silent Winds Temple," I went on, seeing no change in her expression. "I've journeyed far to find this place. Please, it's important I speak with him. Can you tell me where he is?" She held my gaze a moment longer, then turned away. "Come with me," she ordered simply, and began walking across the courtyard. We all hurried to follow her as she led us around the shrine to a row of much smaller, simpler buildings. At the steps to the veranda that circled the first structure, she turned, halting us in our tracks, and pointed a finger in my direction.
"You. Follow me. Only you. The rest of your party must wait here."
She glanced at the others as if expecting a protest and narrowed her eyes.
"The head priest is very busy at the moment. I do not wish to disturb him with a large group of visitors stomping through the premises. I will take the girl to speak to Master Jiro. Everyone else, please make yourselves comfortable until we return."
"Oh." I turned to look at my companions, wondering what they thought of this. Okame shrugged and Daisuke gestured at the steps, indicating that I should follow her. I glanced at Tatsumi and he gave a slight nod. I supposed he didn't think a petite shrine maiden was going to be a threat, or maybe he didn't care one way or another.
"All right."
I trailed her up the steps, down a wooden veranda and past several rooms where the murmur of voices could be heard through the shoji. At the end of the veranda, the miko slid open a door and gestured for me to go inside. I did as she asked, stepping into a small, mostly empty room with a tatami mat floor, a low table, and a single flower in an alcove. The head priest was nowhere to be seen. The door closed with a snap. I whirled to see the miko take a strip of white paper from her haori and press it to the doorframe, the kanji for barrier written on the surface in clear black ink.
"An ofuda?"
I felt a pulse of spiritual energy ripple from the paper strip and spread over the walls. The hairs on my arm rose as a shimmering wall of force surrounded the room, similar to the key barrier the monks created, but one of pure magic, drawn from the kami and the energy of the world. The shrine maiden turned, her black eyes hard as they met mine.
"I've put a barrier around this room," she announced. "No spirits, demons, or yokai can get in or out, and no one outside will hear us. Your friends, if they even are your friends, won't be coming, Kitsune. My ears flattened as I stepped back, feeling fox magic rise to the surface. So she had seen me after all. I just came to speak to Master Jiro, I said, in what I hoped was a calming voice. I'm not here to cause trouble. No? The Miko's gaze narrowed. Did you think you could just walk in here and I wouldn't know a yokai when I saw one? Even a half-yokai. I speak to the kami every day. I see their world as clearly as my own. She gestured past the sealed door. Those men outside, none of them know what you really are, do they, Fox? You're deceiving them all. A hard smile crossed her lips. You won't find me so easily fooled. I came here for help, I insisted. I'm from the Silent Winds Temple. My master sent me to find the head priest of the Hayate Shrine. Why? Because I closed my eyes. I didn't want to fight the Miko, but it was clear she didn't trust a word I was saying. She saw only a kitsune, and the reputations of the mischievous foxes preceded me. If I wanted to talk to the priest, I had to get past the shrine maiden. Because I sighed again and reached into my furoshiki. I have this. The shrine maiden's eyes got huge as I pulled out the lacquered scroll case, holding it between us. The blood drained from her face, and she took a step backward, staring at the item in my hand as if it were a live snake. Merciful Kami, she whispered. That is, you have a piece of the scroll. She stood there a moment, then leaned forward with narrowed eyes. Who else knows of this? She snapped. The men outside. Are any of them aware that you have the dragon's prayer? I shook my head. None of them know I possess the scroll, I told her. Or this piece of it, anyway. I hesitated a moment, wincing. Although there is one who is searching for it, who was sent to my temple to retrieve the scroll. The samurai in black, the Miko guessed. The warrior of the Shadow Clan. Who is he? His name is Kage Tatsumi, I told her. He carries a sword named Kamigoroshi. She closed her eyes. The Kage Demon Slayer, she whispered. I thought I felt something evil close by. I suppose that makes sense, that Hanshō would send him. Her eyes opened, angry and fearful, glaring at me. How could you bring that creature into this shrine? She demanded. Do you know how dangerous he is? What he could do to the spirits who call this place their home? I needed him, I told her. He agreed to help because he wants the scroll, she interrupted. That's the only reason you're still alive, Kitsune. The only reason the Demon Slayer hasn't killed you. If he finds out you have it... My temple was attacked, I said. An oni came through, murdered everyone, and tried to take the scroll. I barely escaped. I shivered, remembering the terror of the horde, the monstrous oni crashing into the hall, and the horror that came after. I had to swallow the lump in my throat before continuing. Before he died, Master Isao sent me here. He said that the head priest would know where to find the Steel Feather Temple. Which has the second piece of the dragon's prayer, the Miko finished gravely, and sighed. Yes, I can see the truth of your words. She took a step back, rubbing her eyes as if they pained her. Though I don't know why the monks let a yokai run off with something so important. I suppose they were desperate. I ignored the contempt in her voice, slipping the case back into my furoshiki. My name is Yumeko, I told her. Master Isao and the monks raised me. I spent my entire life in that temple. I didn't know the story of the dragon until recently, but I did promise to take care of the scroll. I have no intention of letting it fall to the demons or into the hands of evil humans. I've come a long way, fought bandits and Gaki and Omukade to talk to the head priest. I pinned back my ears, feeling a tiny bit of desperation and anger rise to the surface. If I really was pure yokai, I would have dropped the scroll in the river and let it wash out to sea. You're right. I am sorry, Kitsune. The shrine maiden straightened, becoming more formal. I apologize for my bluntness, she offered. I am known as Reika, and I'm the senior shrine maiden for the Hayate Shrine. I am also the only one who knows about the Dragon Scroll besides Master Jiro. You know the legend, then, about the scroll and the dragon's wish? Yes, Reika nodded. Master Jiro told me about the scroll, the dragon's prayer, and what will happen if the dragon is summoned. But there is one thing he would not reveal, and that is the location of the Steel Feather Temple. A faint, bitter smile twisted her lips. I suppose it was for my protection. I have to get to the Steel Feather Temple, I said. I promised I would deliver the scroll to the monks there. Will you allow me to speak to Master Jiro? I would, the Miko replied, if I knew where he was. I blinked. He's not here? Reika shook her head. 3 days ago, she explained, a courier arrived with a message for Master Jiro, summoning him to the Imperial Palace. He left to attend the meeting and put me in charge of the shrine until he returned. That was the last I saw of him. Her lips thinned and she shook her head. I shouldn't have let him go. He confessed that he had an ominous feeling about the meeting and warned me to be on my guard. I should have insisted he stay here. And now he's missing, and I have no idea what happened. Have you been to the palace to look for him? She gave me a bemused look. I've been trying, but you cannot just show up at the Imperial Palace without an invitation, she exclaimed. The guards keep turning me away at the gates. They say that no one has seen or heard of Master Jiro. The Miko made a frustrated gesture. But I know he's there. I know he went to speak to a woman named Lady Satomi and never came back. She gave me a wary look. And then a kitsune arrives at the shrine with part of the dragon scroll, wanting to know the way to the Steel Feather Temple. How could I not think the two were related? I started to answer, but a shiver suddenly went through the air, causing a chill to race up my spine. Reika turned, eyes widening as the edge of a blade slashed through the sliding screen door, cutting the ofuda in half. The door panels toppled to the floor with a clatter, revealing Tatsumi's lean, dark silhouette in the frame, Kamigoroshi unsheathed and glowing in the fading light.
27. Summoned by Shadow. Something wasn't right. I'd watched Yumeko leave with the shrine maiden, feeling Hakaimono's restless stirring in my mind. As soon as we'd passed beneath the torii gate at the stairs, the demon had recoiled. This was sacred ground, sanctified by priests and protected against evil. Demons were not welcome in this place. Even though Hakaimono's presence had been masked within the sword, it was still uncomfortable for me to be here. To make matters worse, Hakaimono held a special, venomous hatred for priests, shrine maidens, and spiritual figures of any kind. When the Miko had first appeared, I'd had to suppress the instant desire to tear the head from her body. Still, I sensed no evil from the shrine maiden herself, and when she told the rest of us to wait while she continued on with Yumeko, I was wary, but protesting would not have gotten us any closer to our objective. Especially when there were other ways of listening in on the conversation while not being physically present. Wandering to the side of the building, I leaned against the railing and crossed my arms, affecting a pose of casual patience. While the ronin sat heavily on the steps and pulled out his sake jug, and the noble walked quietly to the edge of a rock garden, I furtively held two fingers to my lips and whispered a few words under my breath. Around me, everything grew very quiet. Sounds faded, becoming muffled, like the world was suddenly underwater. Closing my eyes, I tilted my head very slightly and angled my focus toward the building behind me. Voices whispered past my ears as I sent my consciousness into the rooms, searching for Yumeko's voice. This was a special Shadow Clan technique used by some of our shinobi to listen to a private conversation in a room, across a yard, or in a crowded restaurant without giving themselves away. Since my missions usually involve death and not information gathering, I rarely used it, as focusing so much of your attention elsewhere left your body vulnerable. But the shrine seemed secure enough. There were no demons here, except the one hidden in my blade. Unless the Ronin got bored and decided to bother me, I would be safe to listen in on Yumiko and the shrine maiden. However, as I pressed farther into the building, hearing what I assumed were more Mikos talking about their daily lives, I suddenly hit a wall. Not a physical one. I could go through wood or stone or rice paper with ease. But a wall of magic, shimmering with energy, preventing me from going any farther.
A barrier?
I opened my eyes, and the magic scattered to the winds. The Ronin still lounged on the steps, drinking, and the noble seemed to be admiring the well-tended rock garden in the shade of a pine. Pushing myself off the railing, I turned and walked toward the veranda and up the steps, brushing past the Ronin, who gave me a puzzled look.
Oi, where are you going, Kage-san? I thought we were supposed to wait here.
Ignoring him, I continued down the hallway, pulling my sword as I did. With a yelp, the Ronin scrambled after me, demanding to know what I was doing, but I didn't pause. I'd underestimated the shrine maiden, thinking she wasn't a threat. That wasn't a simple barrier I'd encountered. It was a complex seal, blocking any sound or magic from getting in or out. If she had Yumiko in that room and decided to attack, none of us would be able to hear what was going on. As I drew closer to the last room, I could feel the magic pushing against me, trying to keep me back. I saw the nearly invisible shimmer blocking the door and narrowed my eyes. Raising Kamigoroshi, I aimed, then brought the sword slicing down across the frame, feeling the blade rip through the barrier and shatter it into a thousand pieces. The doors fell, clattering to the floor beside me. I stared into the room as Yumiko and the shrine maiden whirled around, their eyes going wide as they spotted me.
You!
The shrine maiden stepped forward, seeming unafraid, even as Hakaimono snarled with hate and urged me to split her in half like the doors.
Kamigoroshi, you are not welcome here. Get out and take your human host with you.
It seems the head priest isn't here today.
I stepped into the room and the Miko retreated apace. I glanced past her, making sure the girl was all right, before turning to the shrine maiden.
You deceived us to get Yumiko alone. Did you think your barrier could stop me?
Scowling, the Miko pulled another ofuda from her sleeve and brandished it before her. It read, Loyalty, in stark black ink down the paper.
Leave this place, abomination, she ordered again. If you come a step closer, I will summon the guardian of the shrine to drive you out.
Do it, I said, feeling Hakaimono flare with eagerness, and you will have one less shrine guardian.
Tatsumi, wait!
Yumiko stepped between us.
It's all right,
she told me, as the noble and the Ronin pushed into the room as well. I could feel their shock as they took in the scene, me with my sword bared, facing a shrine maiden brandishing ofuda, and a slip of a girl between us.
I'm fine, Tatsumi. There's no danger here. Reika-san was just telling me how Master Jiro went missing and that she needs our help to find him.
What? The Miko exclaimed, obviously just as surprised as the rest of us. Yumiko half-turned, looking behind her, as the shrine maiden lowered her arm, frowning.
That's what you wanted, isn't it, Reika-san?
She cocked her head as if the solution was perfectly clear.
To find Master Jiro, and we need his help to get to the temple. So, obviously, we should aid each other. Right, everyone?
Yumiko glanced back at the three of us, her gaze plaintive.
Daisuke-san? Okame-san? You'll help too, right?
Of course, the ronin exclaimed immediately. We're always happy to aid a friend of Yumiko-chan's. Just leave it to us.
He paused, scratching the back of his head.
Though it would help if I knew what the hell was going on.
I sighed, lowering my sword. Shrine maidens, ronin, farmers, yure. Was there anyone Yumiko wouldn't trust as soon as she met them?
You said the head priest has gone missing?
I asked the shrine maiden, who eyed me warily but nodded.
How long ago?
3 days,
the Miko answered, and stepped back with an exasperated look at the doors lying in the frame.
You might as well come in, she sighed, waving us through. Sit down, and I'll explain the whole situation.
We stepped carefully over the broken door panels and sat down in front of the low table with the Miko on the other side. And we listened as she told us of the head priest, the mysterious summons to the palace, and his meeting with a woman named Lady Satomi. At the name, Taiyo-san straightened, a flash of recognition going through his eyes. Yumiko noticed it as well.
Do you know her, Daisuke-san?
Yumiko asked.
I do.
The noble's expression turned faintly sour.
Not personally, but I know who she is. Everyone in the palace does. She's the emperor's favorite concubine. She came to the city less than a year ago and has been growing her influence ever since. There are some who believe the emperor favors her too much, that a simple concubine should not be given such status. But any who speak too loudly against her find themselves dishonored, exiled from the city, or worse. And...
he trailed off. And? I asked softly. He exhaled.
It is nothing. Peasant gossip, nothing an honorable Bushi would concern himself with. But there have been rumors of late, whispers about Lady Satomi. The servants are all terrified of her, and she never seems to have the same handmaid more than a month or two at a time. There was a little servant girl, Suki, I believe her name was, who was last assigned to Lady Satomi's quarters. By chance, I ran into her once when she first came to the palace.
He tapped his fingers on his arm, frowning.
I have not seen her since.
Yumiko cocked her head.
What happened to her? I do not know.
The noble shook his head.
I do not keep track of Lady Satomi's maidservants, but I believe she has yet another girl working for her. If what you say is true, and the head priest has gone missing, that does indeed appear suspicious. What would Lady Satomi want with Master Jiro? I intend to ask her,
the shrine maiden said,
if I can get into the palace.
The noble's jaw tightened.
I would be very careful, were I you, he warned. Lady Satomi may not be a warrior, but she is the emperor's favorite and a lady of the court. Within the palace, she holds a tremendous amount of sway and power. She will be a dangerous opponent if you attack her head-on, if you do not bring down the wrath of the emperor himself. Daisuke-san,
Yumiko said, as if just realizing something,
you're a noble of the great imperial family. You could get us into the palace, right? I...
Taken aback, the noble stared at her a moment, then nodded.
Yes,
he finally admitted.
I could. It would take some planning, but I think I could manage it.
I could too, I thought, unreasonably annoyed with the smile Yumiko gave him. Hakaimono perked up, intrigued by my flash of irritation, and I shoved the demon's presence down.
However, the noble went on, there are proper channels we must take. I cannot simply walk you through the gates of the imperial palace and demand to see Lady Satomi. Such dishonorable behavior would ruin my family's reputation and make us the laughingstock of the court, and my father might commit seppuku in shame. And if Lady Satomi decides she is being threatened, she could turn the court against you, have you arrested or even executed. This is not something we can take lightly. One wrong step in the court will be disastrous for us all. But,
he paused, brow furrowed in thought, before nodding.
Yes, of course. That might work. I think I have a way.
What do you have in mind, Daisuke-san? Yumeko asked.
Tomorrow night, the noble went on, the emperor is holding his annual moon-viewing party in the palace gardens. It is a very prestigious event, and a great honor to be invited, so all the important nobles and families will be there.
Including Lady Satomi, the Miko guessed.
Most certainly. My family has already been invited, of course. The trick will be getting the rest of you through the gates. A difficult proposition, but I think I can manage it.
And you would do this for us?
The shrine maiden stared at the noble, eyes narrowed in suspicion.
Forgive me, Taiyo-san, she said, as he raised a brow at her, but you are a noble. Not only that, you are part of the imperial family. Why would you help a shrine maiden, a ronin, and a kinsman of the Shadow Clan into the emperor's party?
Lady Reika, the noble gave her a solemn look. I met Suki-san only once, he said. Normally, I do not notice the comings and goings of the servants in the palace, but this meeting, brief as it was, stood out. I discovered she was the daughter of a craftsman and had an ear for beautiful music. She was genuine, something quite rare within the imperial palace.
His brow creased, a look of weary disgust briefly crossing his face.
The dance of the court never changes. Every year it is exactly the same. Silken words that hide daggers of venom beneath the veneer of decorum and compliments. A smile can be as dangerous as a sword, and the wrong choice of words can mean the difference between great favor and eternal shame. When I met the girl, it was refreshing to speak to someone who did not care about earning favor or keeping up appearances. For Suki and her father's sake, I feel it is my responsibility to discover if the rumors about Lady Satomi are idle peasant gossip, or if they have any truth to them.
Wow, the ronin interjected. A noble who actually realized a peasant was a real person. Better be careful, Taiyo-san. Next thing you know, you might start courting dogs and having conversations with monkeys.
Yumeko frowned at this, looking puzzled, and the ronin hurried on before she could ask a question.
But that still doesn't explain how you're going to sneak a ronin, a priestess, and her...
He nodded at Yumeko.
Into the imperial palace.
Sneak you into the emperor's party?
The noble seemed genuinely horrified.
What a shameful thought! I may find the courtly events a bit repetitive, Okame-san, but I am not so bored as to consider treason.
He sniffed, letting us all know he was offended, before continuing.
However, a distinguished Ommyoji and her Yojimbo is a different story. Those who practice Ommyodo, the ancient art of yin and yang, are highly respected. The emperor himself often calls upon Ommyoji for advice in political affairs, to tell his fortune or divine the future of the country. I'm certain he would welcome Yumeko-san and her companions into his presence.
I saw the shrine maiden glance at Yumeko and narrow her eyes.
Perhaps she could tell that the girl wasn't an Ommyoji or anyone with magical abilities. But she didn't correct the noble's assumption, and neither did Yumeko, though the ronin looked vaguely uneasy at the thought of meeting the emperor.
So it's decided, the shrine maiden said. Tomorrow night, we will attend the emperor's moon-viewing party, find Lady Satomi, and discover what has happened to Master Jiro. Are we all in agreement that this must be done?
Yes, Yumeko said immediately. And once we find Master Jiro, we can finally go to the Steel Feather Temple.
Sounds like fun,
put in the ronin, rubbing his hands together. I've never been invited to the palace before. I can't wait to see it up close.
Agreed, said the noble. Although, if I may,
he glanced at Yumiko, then the ronin.
The emperor's party attracts nobles from across Iwagoto. All are looking to make an impression, to see and be seen. And for the most part, you will not want to stand out among the crowd. Perhaps a change of attire would be prudent?
The ronin snorted.
Don't show up looking like filthy peasants, then?
If at all possible.
Miss Reika?
I turned, ignoring the sudden surge of bloodlust. Hakaimono was angry that the scene with the Miko hadn't ended in violence and was now lashing out at everything around it. A pair of shrine maidens, probably the two I'd heard in the rooms next door, appeared on the veranda, peering cautiously into the room.
Miss Reika, one said again. So sorry to disturb you, but there are samurai at the entrance that will not leave. They say they are looking for one of their kin.
Thank you, Minako-san, the shrine maiden said, as a cold lump settled in my gut. Please inform them that I will be there shortly. As the two Miko bowed and hurried off, the priestess gave the rest of us an exasperated look.
It appears your presence continues to disturb the peacefulness of my shrine, she remarked. Now I have samurai at the gates, upsetting the kami and scaring the Mikos. Which one of you is responsible for this, I wonder?
Hey, don't look at me,
the ronin said, holding up his hands as the shrine maiden glared at him.
I'm not in the habit of being around samurai, present company excluded. If anyone, it's the noble Taiyo, wanting to know why their golden kinsman is hanging around with such riffraff.
No, I said softly and rose, causing them all to glance up. It's the Kage. They're here for me. Stepping over the shattered door panels, I walked out of the room. I knew, somehow, that the members of the Shadow Clan had come for me, and I did not want them to know the faces of those I had traveled with. But I hadn't gone very far when light footsteps echoed behind me, and her voice floated over the breeze.
Tatsumi, wait!
I turned. Yumiko had followed me out to the veranda and was now watching me depart, her gaze conflicted.
What about your promise? She asked quietly. We still need to find Master Jido, and you said we would go to the Steel Feather Temple together.
I haven't forgotten. An odd reluctance tugged at me. For some reason, I found myself hesitant to go. I'll meet you at the palace, I told her. Don't look for me. When it's time, I'll find you. She still looked hesitant, and I offered a faint smile. I swear it. The Kage were indeed at the entrance of the shrine. Four samurai in dark hakama and haori, wearing the black and purple colors of the Shadow Clan. It wasn't surprising. Agents of the Kage were everywhere and had likely taken note of my presence the moment I stepped into the capital.
Kage Tatsumi, one said with a short bow as I approached. Master Masao wishes to speak to you. If you would please come with us.
I followed my clansmen through the darkening streets of Kinhegentoshi as the sunlight disappeared and lanterns flickered to life. We walked in silence, parting the crowds as we glided through the city. A group of samurai walking the streets was enough to cause most normal civilians to politely cross to the other side, but a group of Shadow Clan samurai warranted even more caution. As the Hino family were infamous for their short tempers, and the Taiyo were known for being as proud as they were beautiful, the Kage had garnered a reputation as being sinister and untrustworthy, a standing we did little to dispute. The Shadow Clan had many secrets. Better that the Empire expected such behavior of us. It kept them from prying too deeply into our affairs and discovering they had every right to be cautious. The Shadow District, where the Kage family maintained an estate within the Imperial City, lay on the outskirts west of the palace. As a sanctuary away from home for the smallest of the great clans, it was tucked into a corner along the outer wall, far from the bustle of the inner city, out of sight and out of mind, which suited the kage perfectly. Like the name suggested, the streets through the Shadow District were narrow and dark, with few lanterns to throw back the gloom. As I made my way down familiar roads and alleys, I could feel eyes on me, invisible, but Hakaimono didn't even stir. Shinobi prowled the rooftops overhead, silent and lethal, keeping watch over everything that happened within Shadow Clan territory. Ironically, their presence made the Kage District one of the safest in Kinhegan Toshi. No kidnapper, thief, or murderer would risk operating in a territory whose warriors knew the darkness better than them. The Kage Estate lay at the end of the Shadow District, over a canal of sluggish black water that was rumored to be haunted by an irritable kappa, a type of man-eating river yokai. With the amount of shinobi in the area and the fact that Hakaimono had never sensed the presence of yokai near the canal, I doubted this rumor was true, and thought that it might even have been started by the Kage themselves to keep curious civilians away from the estate. The Kage Estate itself was surrounded by high stone walls and guarded by black-clad samurai, though I knew even more shinobi lurked in hidden nooks and crannies, watching us as we walked through the gates. Once we passed through the tall, iron-banded doors, all but one samurai bowed to me and left, leaving me in the care of a single bushi. I followed him up the steps into the Kage Estate, smaller than Hakumejo, the home castle of the Shadow Clan, but no less elegant. And no less confusing. Both structures were designed to be baffling, and those without intimate knowledge of the estate's interiors would soon find themselves hopelessly lost in the labyrinthine corridors of the Shadow Clan Palace. Added to this were many hidden rooms, trapdoors, secret tunnels, and spaces between walls and floors, where shinobi could ambush intruders and vanish without a trace. Within Hakumejo, it was said that there were hidden rooms, tunnels, and passages not even the shinobi knew about, and that the only person who possessed all the secrets of the Shadow Clan palaces was the architect who designed them. But she'd left no record of her work behind, no blueprints or journals, and in the end took her perfect knowledge with her to the grave. Thankfully, I had been to the Shadow Clan estate a few times before and was familiar with the layout. And unlike Hakume Castle, the interior of this palace did not switch around or change appearance several times a year, so I was able to keep my bearings as I followed my guide through the long, twisting corridors of the Kage Estate. However, as we turned a corner, a trio of men melted out of the shadows to block our path. They wore dark robes, and their faces were painted white with black markings across their cheeks and forehead. The Majutsushi of the Shadow Clan.
"You are dismissed," the lead figure told the samurai. "Return to your post. We will take the demon slayer from here."
The warrior bowed deeply, turned on a heel, and strode away without looking back. The sorcerer waited until the footsteps had faded into the dark before turning jet-black eyes on me.
"Kage Tatsumi,"
he murmured as the others stepped forward surrounding me. I kept my face blank, my hands at my side, though my head was filled with images of slicing them in half, drenching the corridors in blood. The robed figure's painted black lips curled in a faint smile, as if he were reading my thoughts.
"I can feel your hate from here, Demon Slayer," he said in a raspy whisper. "You know what's coming, and you desperately want to kill us all, don't you?"
"Hakaimono's desires are not mine, Master Iyomon," I replied carefully. "I am fully in control, both of myself and my weapon."
"Are you?"
The Majutsushi's lips curled higher.
"Not according to Master Jomei. You have been seen in the company of a girl, a ronin, and now a samurai, a Taiyo noble of all people. Did you think we would not notice your abnormal behavior? Have you forgotten the rules?
His stark black gaze narrowed.
What have we told you about dealing with those not of the Shadow Clan? Answer me.
I am to have little to no dealings with those outside of the Kage, I replied obediently. I am to avoid contact with people whenever possible. If it is not possible, I am to act as society dictates, until I can remove myself from their presence as quickly as I can.
And why is that, Demon Slayer?
Because my existence puts them in danger, I quoted. Because humans inspire emotion, which Hakaimono will use to weaken my defenses.
And if that happens?
I will lose control, and the Kage will be forced to put me down. Master Iemon nodded.
You know this, he said harshly. You know you must always work alone. Humans will only tempt you, distract you, and worse, they will bring out the emotions we have spent a lifetime teaching you to suppress. The Kage Demon Slayer must never give in to anger, fear, frustration, or grief. Feeling anything only brings Hakaimono closer to the surface, and if you lose control of the sword, that will bring great shame and dishonor to the Kage, as we must clean up the mess you left behind.
I understand, Master Iemon, but...
But?
The Majutsu hissed.
There is no but, no excuse. You are nothing, Demon Slayer. You exist only to serve the Kage. Your personal feelings mean nothing, because you should not have them.
He straightened and stepped back, appraising me.
It appears that the Kage Demon Slayer's resolve is slipping. Perhaps a re-evaluation of the subject's mental state is necessary.
Rage filled me, and I fought the urge to draw Kamigoroshi and cut my way free, knowing Iemon was watching my reaction. Re-evaluation meant days of mental and physical stress to determine if I could remain in control. It meant being shackled to a pair of stone pillars and beaten with bamboo rods to see if I would lose myself to the demon. It meant plunging my hand into a bed of hot coals to prove I would follow orders at any cost, or kneeling motionless before a wooden target while fellow shinobi hurled shuriken and kunai past my face. But with Iemon and the rest of the Majutsu watching, judging my reaction, there was only one acceptable answer. Bowing low at the waist, I cast my gaze to the floor, feeling Iemon's eyes on the back of my neck. My life and my body belong to the Shadow Clan, I murmured, as Hakaimono recoiled in angry disgust. If this is what the Kage requires of me, I will submit.
No, Tatsumi-kun, came a new voice behind me. Not this time.
Masao-san, Iemon exclaimed, as the courtier sauntered into the hallway. Clad in a flowing kimono of purple silk, a spray of golden bamboo covering one side, he stood out among the stark black robes of the Majutsu. The pair that had been flanking Iemon backed away, but the lead Majutsu stood firm as Kage Masao's presence filled the corridor like a swan stretching its wings.
Good evening, Master Iemon, Masao greeted. Please forgive the interruption, but I'm afraid I must intervene. The Demon Slayer will come with me.
Iemon's black lips thinned.
The Demon Slayer is under our watch,
the Majutsu argued, as Masao regarded him lazily from behind his white silk fan.
We are responsible for determining if he is a danger to himself and the citizens of Iwagoto. Tatsumi-kun is on a very important mission for Lady Hansho herself.
Masao snapped his fan shut and smiled at the glowering Majutsu.
He does not have time to be dragged away and tormented by your cadre of ghouls.
Iemon stiffened, but the courtier's smile didn't falter.
Worry not, Iemon-san. If he loses control and eats someone, I will assume full responsibility.
Very well.
The Majutsu stepped back, a sour look on his face. Victory went to the courtier, and I took a quiet breath of relief.
Then we will leave him in your capable hands, Masao-san. I am certain you will know what to do if Hakaemono makes an appearance.
He smirked, his expression saying the exact opposite, as if he was hoping I would lose control and rip the courtier to shreds. But Masao only nodded serenely.
Oh, you flatter me, Master Iemon.
The courtier fluttered his fan again, a faint blush tinging his cheeks.
I am not worthy of such praise. Besides, with your excellent training and guidance, I am sure to be in no danger. Tatsumi-kun has had the most thorough upbringing, I am certain. And if the boy does lose control, Lady Hancho would certainly not blame the death of her most trusted advisor on you. She is, of course, the kindest and most benevolent of rulers, and her punishments for those who disappoint her are reserved for only the vilest of failures.
Behind his makeup, Iemon went slightly pale.
Yes, well...
He backed away, suddenly eager to be gone.
We will take our leave, then. Good evening, Masao-san. And to you, Iemon-san.
As the Majutsu turned and drifted away down the corridor, Masao's pleasant smile turned faintly savage, and he closed his fan.
Keep to your magic and manipulating the kami, Iemon-san.
He said in a quiet voice.
Don't attempt to play the game of the court with a master.
Tucking the fan into his obi, he looked at me, and the vicious mask disappeared as if it had never been.
Tatsumi-kun, he said brightly, so sorry to keep you waiting. Will you walk with me for a bit?
We started down the hallway, moving in the opposite direction Iemon and the rest of the Majutsu had gone. I was glad to be rid of Iemon and the three Majutsu, but strangely enough, being in the presence of Kage Masao felt just as unnerving, as if there were live vipers hidden beneath his robes, though I didn't know why.
I understand that the Silent Winds Temple had been destroyed when you got there,
Masao commented after a minute or two of walking.
Yes, Master Masao, I replied. Amanjaku had killed everyone, and the scroll was already gone. There were reports of an oni, but I didn't see it.
Demons, Masao mused, sounding grim. So, Jomei was right. A mortal is summoning them from Jigoku, which means... They're likely after the scroll as well. Lady Hancho will not be pleased.
He sighed and gave me a sideways look.
This girl you've taken up with, who is giving Iemon a heart attack, who is she?
The only survivor from the temple, I told him. She claims her master told her where he sent the scroll, but not how to get there. That's why we came to the capital. There is someone here who knows where this hidden temple is located. I promise to escort her there once she has the information.
I see.
Masao gave no indication of what he thought of this.
And do you trust this girl?
I paused.
Trust no one.
That was Master Ichido's number one rule.
Believe nothing but what your senses tell you,
he would always warn.
Humans manipulate, yokai deceive. Everything has ulterior motives, and the second you let your guard down, they will slit your throat from behind.
I'd heeded his warning, of course. Everything, everyone I met, was looking to kill, harm, or manipulate me in some fashion.
That assumption had saved my life on more than one occasion, when the sobbing child at the river had lunged at me with bared fangs, and the frightened woman in the alley had attempted to strangle me with her hair. But Yumeko, it was strange and possibly dangerous, but I felt almost comfortable around her. Or at least, I didn't believe she would try to stab me the moment I let down my guard. Master Ichiro would flay the skin from my back if he discovered I was having such thoughts, but Yumeko was different, genuinely curious and unassuming. She had saved my life, she didn't demand anything of me, and she was the first person to ever touch me without inflicting pain. "I trust she will take me to where the scroll is," I told the courtier. "I trust she will do everything in her power to get there."
"Good," Masao nodded. "Continue to aid her, then. Protect the girl from the demons and blood mages that might try to stop you. Do whatever it takes to ensure your mission is a success. And the moment she leads you to the scroll and you have it in your possession, kill her."
A cold lance went through my stomach, but I nodded once, keeping my voice impassive. "Understood."
"Excellent," Masao smiled cheerfully. "I don't understand why Iyomon was so worried. Obviously, you will do what you must to finish your mission for Lady Hansho. So, Tatsumi-kun, what is the next step? Where is this person who knows the location of the scroll?"
"We don't know," I said, earning a puzzled frown from the courtier. "He was supposed to be at the Hayate Shrine, but 3 days ago he was summoned to the Imperial Palace and disappeared."
"Summoned to the palace? By whom?"
"Lady Satomi."
"Oh? The Emperor's concubine?"
Masao pressed his lips together, looking thoughtful.
"There are rumors of her cruelty, but no more than most of the inner court. So, are you part of this little game as well, Lady Satomi? How very interesting."
A sly expression crossed his face before he shook it off and looked at me again.
"A woman of Satomi's station will be difficult to get to," he said. "I assume you are going over the wall, but what then? How do you plan to discover what she knows?"
"There is an event at the palace tomorrow night," I began, and Masao snapped his fingers together.
"Of course! The Emperor's moon viewing party! How could I forget?"
For a moment, he regarded me with an amused smile on his lips.
"A shame you can't attend the normal way, Tatsumi-kun. I can just see the ladies of the court eyeing you like a pack of ravenous wolves."
"I'm not sure I understand, Master Masao."
"I'm sure you don't."
Abruptly, Masao turned and pressed the end of his fan beneath my chin, forcing me to look up at him. I went rigid as he peered at me, studying my face.
"Ichiro and Iemon have probably never told you," he murmured. "But did you know that you are extremely handsome, Tatsumi-kun? A shame they chose you to be the bearer of that cursed sword. Such wasted potential. Of course, in the court, the right clothes would make the difference, but still..."
His eyes gleamed as he lowered the fan and stepped back, smiling in a way that caused a flutter of trepidation to go through my stomach.
"Well, do your best, Demon Slayer, and good luck with Lady Satomi. I fear you might find the Emperor's court more challenging than you think."
28. The Moon Viewing Party. I didn't quite recognize the girl in the reflection. I knew her face. That was the only thing that was familiar. Everything else, hair, makeup, clothing, seemed foreign and strange. I stood in the shrine maiden's room, doors and windows firmly shut with strict orders that we not be disturbed. and stared at the kitsune in the small oval mirror above her dresser. The layered red and white robe, trimmed in gold and patterned with beautiful designs, was easily the most elegant thing I had ever worn. It was also heavy, nearly covered my toes, and was quite cumbersome, especially the wide, billowy sleeves. My hair had been combed, trimmed, and hung in a pleated braid down my back, tied with red and gold silk ribbons. A tall, peaked cap sat atop my head behind my pointed fox ears. I pinned them back in distaste, and the cap toppled off and fell to the floor. Reika sighed. "You can't do that when you're at the palace," she chided, picking the cap off the tatami mats and placing it on my head again. "If you're going to fool everyone into thinking you're a respected onmyoji, you can't be twitching at every little thing." "These robes are so heavy," I said, wrinkling my nose. I could feel my tail beneath the fabric, pressed against the backs of my legs, and I shifted uncomfortably. At least the cumbersome fabric concealed the scroll, still hidden in the furoshiki, quite well. "I'm going to be tripping over my own feet every few steps. Can't I just make my normal clothes look like this?" "Fox magic is nothing but illusion and trickery," the Miko returned, the disdain in her voice reminding me of Denga-san. "If you are discovered to be half-yokai within the imperial palace, not only will you be executed, everyone associated with you will be punished as well. The Ronin, the Noble, and the Kage Demon Slayer all could be killed because you didn't want to be uncomfortable for a night. Do you really want to risk that?" I sniffed. "Can't I at least get some geta clogs so I don't trip and fall on my face in front of the entire imperial court?" She grimaced. "I can raise the hem a couple inches, just give me a minute." She knelt beside me and began tugging on the fabric, muttering at me to hold still. As I looked in the mirror again, my thoughts wandered. After Tatsumi had departed last night, disappearing into the city with his clansmen, Reika had kindly provided rooms for me and Okame. Daisuke had left as well, returning to his family's estate in the Sun District, though he'd promised to return the next evening to escort us to the palace. This afternoon, Reika had sent a few Mikos out to find attire suitable for an onmyoji of my station, and had firmly suggested that Okame should head to the marketplace for an outfit as well, one that didn't scream, "filthy Ronin dog." The Ronin had scoffed at first, but the shrine maiden insisted she wasn't going to jeopardize our mission because of his stupid pride, and practically chased him out of the shrine, threatening to send the shrine guardian after him if he didn't leave. After the Ronin finally heeded her orders, she turned her attention to me. "What are the names of the last five emperors?" Reika demanded, still kneeling at the hem of my robes. I stifled a groan. All morning she had lectured me about the ways of the court, their customs, what was socially acceptable, and what behaviors would scream uncouth peasant. The amount of details to remember when simply offering a bow made my head spin, as was the list of topics that were deemed unacceptable for this time of year. When asked a question, it was considered rude to simply say yes or no. Better to reply with poem and verse, using as many similes and flowery phrases as possible. I hedged, knowing Reika was expecting an answer. An onmyoji of my station, she'd explained earlier, would certainly know the history of Iwagoto's royal family. Taiyo no Genjiro, Taiyo no Eiichi, Taiyo no Fujikata, Taiyo no... Kintaro? "Now you're just guessing," the shrine maiden said. "And you cannot say or ano in the imperial court. Peasants and commoners stutter. Nobles never do." With a sigh, I shifted my weight, earning a tch of displeasure from the shrine maiden. Abruptly, I missed Tatsumi. Though he never said much, his quiet presence could always be felt. I wondered where he was now, what he was doing. I hoped I would see him again, that he would meet us in the palace like he promised. I also hoped I wouldn't put a foot in my mouth at the imperial court and expose us all. There, Reika said, and rose, brushing off her knees. I think you're as ready as you'll ever be. Stepping back, she crossed her arms and regarded me with a critical eye before nodding once. Good enough. You look like an onmyoji.